This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Bruchim Abayim to the Kollel Igur DePirka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York. We begin today with a subject that is relevant not only to Parshas Va'era and Parshas Bo'i, but to the entirety of Sefer Shemois. We know the books of the Chumash have various names. Bereishis is typically called Sefer Bereishis. The Ramban calls it Sefer Hayetzira. Vayikra is sometimes called Taras Kayanim, often called Vayikra. Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPekudim, the Book of Counting. Devarim, of course, is called Mishneh Torah. And in fact, the Netziv in his Hakdama to Sefer Shemois brings the opinion of Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. And he calls the five books of Moses the following names. Number one, Bereishis, get a load of this. He calls it Bereishis. Vayikra, he calls Taras Kayanim, or Sefer Kayanim. Bamidbar, he calls Chumash HaPekudim. And Devarim, he calls Mishneh Torah. Now, you ready for this? Drum roll, please. Sefer Shemois. The Bahag calls Chumash Sheni. Book 2. Wow, what a brilliant name. How did he ever come up with that one? Book 2. What happened here? He ran out of names. You know, every other book he had a good name for. Bereishis, Sefer Koyanim, Chumash HaPekudim, Mishneh Torah. Why did the Bahag seemingly run out of names when he got to Shemois and call Book 2? Why doesn't he call Bereishis Book 1 or Vayikra Book 3 or Bamidbar Book 4? Why is Shemois the only book that he calls Book 2? In fact, says the Netziv, this is not really the innovation of Bahag, but it's a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara in Saita says in Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Loi Kederach Shechalukin B'Chumash HaPekudim, not the way they divide Chumash HaPekudim, Chalukin B'Avnei Eifoid, Ela Kederach Shechalukin B'Chumash Sheni, the way they divide Book 2. So really the Gemara has already given it the appellation. Book 2 says in Netziv, Shuta D'Rabbeisenu Nitnu Lidaresh, meaning we need to investigate and try to understand why, in fact, did our sages call it this name? Why have Chazal given it this name? It's Shaloi Bechinam Shinu Hashem Bezeh HaSefer. Shuta Darvasin Nitnu Lelamdenu Bina. Okay, that is the first question of the day. Question number two. If you read the Psukim of Parshas Va'era and Bo'i, once the Makos begin, it is a uninterrupted assault without any breaks, without any pauses to be misboinin, being parsha la parsha, no commercials, no word from the sponsor. Dam, tzfardeya, kinim, arev, dever, bam, 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 you know, no interruption whatsoever. With one exception. Right before Makos Bechoros, all of a sudden the Ribbono Shel Olam takes a break and he gives Klal Yisrael the first mitzvah in the Torah, and that is, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe V'Al Aaron V'Eretz Mitzrayim Leimar HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. And the question that is raised by Rav David Kohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, one of the great Balei Machshava today, one of the great Gedol Yisrael today, in the Sefer Mizmar LeDavid, he wants to know, why does Ribbono Shel Olam specifically inject the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh as the introduction to Makos Bechoros? Until now, the Makos were continuous, one after the other, without any interruption, without any hefsik. Why has Ribbono Shel Olam interjected the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem right before Makos Bechoros? Bechlal, let us understand the Makos in general. Because the Chavos HaVavos tells us that we always have to upgrade our understanding of the Tfilos and the simple narratives in the Chumash. Because if we don't, we're in jeopardy, we're in danger of maintaining the same elementary understanding of episodes that we learned when we were a child, and we always have an immature understanding of it. And I think the Makos are a perfect example. If you ask most people, what are the Makos about? I don't know, people think of it like a carnival, like a circus. So Ribbono Shel Olam is coming with polar bears and elephants and, you know, juggling acts, and it's a whole carnival, it's a whole... Well, the truth is, Ribbono Shel Olam was mocking the Mitzrayim, but still, you know, we have a very almost childish perception of the Makos. You know, it's like a zoo. Ribbono Shel Olam brings the Bronx Zoo into Egypt. You know, so he opens up all the doors, and out pours all the wild animals. What exactly was Ribbono Shel Olam trying to accomplish with the Makos? So let us begin our journey today with the comments of Psikta Zutrasi Medrash Lekach Toiv. Number 4. Says the Medrash, Al kol mako umako shehivi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mitzriyim. For each plague that God brought on the Egyptians, lo haya Moshe Rabbeinu hoylech, ella al pi hagvura. Moses only went based on the word of the Lord. Yavoyu asara mamorois shel esar makois. Let the 10 statements of the 10 plagues come. V'yifru mi paro yumin ha-mitzriyim. And punish Pharaoh and the Egyptians, Sharatsu Lashabid Am Yisrael, who wanted to subjugate us, Shaba'avuram Nivra Ha'olam Basar Ma'amaris, that in their merit the world was created in 10 statements. So here we have for the very first time that even though we would think, you know, there are a lot of things in this world that are 10, you know, there's, you could get the news on 10 winds, right? And God created the world with 10 statements, and there are 10 plagues, and we wouldn't necessarily think that any of these things are connected to each other, but comes the Medrash, and the Medrash draws a parallel between the 10 statements with which God created the world and the 10 plagues. What exactly? You need a minion, 10 people, right? Okay. Anyway, what exactly is the connection between the 10 statements with which God created the world and the 10 plagues? So let's digress for a moment. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and it's quoted in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis, the Mishnah says, Ba'asara ma'amarois nivra ha'olam. The world was created in 10 statements. So let's just digress briefly and discuss what are the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. So we know on day 1, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, God said, let there be light. On day 2, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia, let there be a heaven, a firmament. On day 3, there were 2 statements. Vayomer Elokim Yikavu Hamayim, let the dry land appear. And Vayomer Elokim Toitzi Haaretz Desha. So that's 2 on day 3, we're up to 4. Day 4, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'ayrois, let there be a sun, a moon, stars, UFOs, right? Meteorites. Anyway, we're up to what?
5.
Day 5, God said, Vayomer Elokim Yishitzu Hamayim Sharetz Nefesh Chaya. So that's 6. On day 6, there were 2 statements. God said, Vayomer Elokim Toitzi Aretz Nefesh Chaya, the animals. That's number 7. And then Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam. So these are the 10 statements with which God created the world, right? One on day 1. One on day 1. One on day 2, 2 on day 3, 1 on day 4, 1 on day 5, 2 on day 6. These are the 10 statements with which God created the world. Frek the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis, Asara Ma'amar Shem Nevroilam, Haininu, what are they? Vayoymer, Devarishis Teshavu, they're only 9, the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, no! Bereshis nami mamarhu. Bereshis is also a statement. D'chsiv b'dvar Hashem shamayim nasu. With the word of God, heaven was created. So even though it doesn't say vayomer elokim yehi shamayim, but he must have said there should be a shamayim. Now the Malbim explains why doesn't the pasuk say vayomer elokim yehi shamayim? So the Malbim says like this. The Malbim says there's a fun. It's because it says b'dvar Hashem shamayim nasu. It was dibur. It was not amira. What's the difference between dibur and amira? Dibur is when you're speaking but no one's listening. Let's say I give a drush on Shabbos. No, I'm just doing it, right. Dibur. Dibur is you're speaking. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean you're talking to somebody, right? A rabbi gives a Shabbos drasha. It's dibur. Amira is when Reuven speaks to Shimon. There's a speaker and there's a listener. So that's Amira. Now, when God created the world, He was speaking to something. For example, when He said Yehi Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, He was talking to the matter that He created, and He said, "You matter, I want you to be light. I want you to be a heaven." What? Lamar. Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. This week we have the first time. The most oft repeated pasuk in Chumash, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. I actually almost spoke about that pasuk, but anyway, you're right. There you have Dibur and Amira, but the Malbim says, what's the difference between Dibur and Amira? Dibur is when you speak, and Amira is when you speak to someone. Vayoymer Ruvain El Shemayim. So therefore, once matter was created, but we know that when God created the first statement, it was creation ex nihilo, it was yesh me'ayin. So there's nothing to talk to. So it can't say vayoymer lekim yehi shamayim, and therefore it just says bereishis. By the way, in terms of vayidaber shem al Moshe leimar, Rabbeinu Bechaye says that Dibur is Torah Shebichsav, and Amira is Torah Shebalpeh. That's why whenever God spoke to Moshe, it says Vayidaber Hashem Al Moshe Leimar, both. So I once visited Rav David Koyen, Rav Shiva of Hebron, 2 years ago. He said, based on that Rabbeinu Bechaye, it comes out very beautiful. Magen Avois Bidvaroi. God is the shield of Abraham with His word. That it says in the Torah Shebichsav. Anochi magen lach, but mechaye meisim. The mamaroi tchias meisim. It doesn't say explicitly. So that's only Torah Shabbat. Okay. Anyway, so now we see.
It says 9, and you count 8.
Oh, so 1 second. So we had. So the Gemara asked. The Gemara says these were the 10 statements. The Gemara asked, they're 9, and the Gemara says, the last one is Bereishis. But the obvious question is, we're still missing one. We're still missing because we have two on day 1, one on day 2, we have two on day 3, one on day 4, one on day 5, two on day 6, and we're still missing one. So let's segue to the very end of the sheets. And basically this is a topic that occupies the discussion of many of the classic Svarim. And today we're going to work primarily with the explanation of the Vilna Gaon and the Maharal. And that is, if you look in the Vira Hagra on Perkei Avos, and the Maharal says the same thing. Here are the 10 statements with which God created the world.
What about the creation of the earth itself?
What about it? Shamayim Va'aretz?
No, it's not Shamayim. Shamayim Va'aretz is you have already. The world itself, the Kadur Ha'aretz itself, it never speaks about.
That's what the Gemara is saying. Bereishis Nami Mamarhu, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Shamayim Va'aretz. It would have said it. But it didn't, because that was the first thing created. Yeah. Now, if you want to get brownie points at home, so you tell your wife the pshat of the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah number 30 says, you know what the last creation was? The last creation was Loi toiv hayois ha'adam levadoi. You don't have it? You have number 30? 30, yeah, number 30. The Medrash Rabbah says in the second pshat, in the first pshat, the Medrash Rabbah says, the 10th maimer is, V'ruach Elokim rachefes al pnei hamayim. Somehow the Spirit of God hovered, that was a dibur, and that was the 10th statement. But the Bereishis Rabbah in the second pshat says, the 10th maimer with which God created the world is that a person is, so to speak, completed upon marriage. That was the final act of creation. That was the 10th statement with which the Ribbono Shel created the world.
We get even more points. He shows the Gematria Devash.
That's true, but you know, that's random. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's the pshat of the Bereishis Rabbah. Either the 10th maimer is V'ruach Elokim rachefes al pnei hamayim, or the Bereishis Rabbah says in the second pshat, it's loy toiv hayois ha'adam levadai. But comes the Gra, and the Gra says none of the above. It's not marriage. It's not v'ruach elokim rachefes al pnei hamayim. Says the Gra, number 1, Bereishis. Number 2, vayomer elokim yehi ar. Number 3, vayomer elokim yehi rakia. Number 4, vayomer elokim yikavu. Number 5, vayomer elokim tadshei. Number 6, vayomer elokim yehi ma'orois. Number 7, Vayim Rekim Yishu Tzu Amayim. Number 8, Vayim Rekim Toitzi Aras. Number 9, Vayim Rekim Nas Adam. And number 10, dinner is served. Vayim Rekim Elohim, Hinei Nosati Lachem, is called Esev, Zorei Azora. Then when God said, not only am I creating you, but I've created the phenomenon of food, the creation of food was the final and most important creation of Masa Bereishis. So according to the Gra, and according to the Maral, the final act of creation was Vayomer Elokim, Hinei Nosati Lachem, And by the way, if you look in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, he also counts food as the tenth maimer. The only discrepancy is he counts food and marriage and he takes out Bereishis. But we're going to work today with the opinion of the Gra and the Maral that the tenth statement with which God created the world was what? That God created food. Okay, so now let's go back and try to understand what is the connection between the ten statements with which God created the world and the ten makos. Comes the Tzrar Hamar, Rabbi Avram Saba, one of the Geirushe Sfarad, and he says as follows: Paroi was a koifer. Paroi was a heretic. He did not believe that God created the world. He believed Ha'olam Kadmoin, and he denied Masa Bereishis. Says the Tzrar Hamar, when we make Kiddush Friday night, there's somewhat of a contradiction in our Kiddush. First we say Zecher L'Masa Bereishis, and then we say Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim. Make up your mind, what does Kiddush commemorate? The creation or the Exodus? So the Tzrar Hamar explains that because... Tzrar Hamar. Yeah. The Tzrar Hamar says that when Paroi, as a heretic, he said, Li Hayam, Li Hayor, right? The river is mine. I made the river. God, Ani Asasin, I created it all. I created myself. So Paroi believed that he was a deity. So therefore, the Ribbon Shalom says, you don't believe in creation? Let's try this again. I'm going to start the world over, bring it back to Soyu Vavoyu, and I'm going to re-authenticate and verify the creation of the world. Tzrar Hamar says there are four main elements of matter. You have fire, water, wind, earth, and God wanted to show and demonstrate mastery over all of these elements. So therefore, he struck the yam, he struck the river to show his mastery over the water. He struck the air to show his mastery over the air. He struck the earth itself to show his mastery over the earth. He struck the wind. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to demonstrate, Paroi, you deny creation, you deny my ability. I am going to verify, authenticate, certify that in fact I did create the world. In other words, the makos were a repetition of Brias Ha'olam. In other words, Paroi said, you don't believe I turn the lights on? Really? You don't believe I created the lights? Then let's turn off the lights for a little while, and then you'll see there was somebody who has mastery over the lights. This is the purpose of the makos. The makos authenticated and verified Brias Ha'olam, and therefore it's not a contradiction. When we say Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, we also say Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim, because the events of the Exodus certified what occurred in the times of Brias Ha'olam. Now the Maral comes, and this is an amazing Maral. The Maral in the Gvuras Hashem in Parag Nun Zayin, the Maral learns that it's not just general that the 10 plagues authenticated the 10 statements with which God created the world, but the Maral explains in detail how each plague corresponds to each statement with which Hashem created the world, but the Maral sort of learns it that it goes backward, and we're going to explain that after we go through the 10 makos. So what's the first makah? The first makah is dam. Excellent. Wow, amazing. After 10 years in the Kol Igur, the Pirkei, we have this down. Okay, dam is the first makah, yeah? And what's the 10th statement with which God created the world? Dinner is served. Food. Now, what happens when you eat dinner? You ingest it, you digest it, you reconstitute its molecules, and it becomes part of your blood. Paroi, you don't believe in the great miracle of providing sustenance to man by giving them food with which they turn into themselves? Watch my control over blood. That's maka number one. Maka number two, tsefardeya, the frogs. That corresponds to the seventh amira of let the land creep, let the water creep with all kinds of amphibious creatures. Paroi, you don't believe that I created the frog and the toad and the alligator and the snail and the fish? Check this out. You don't believe my control? All of a sudden, there are frogs everywhere. There are frogs coming out of your shower. There are frogs coming out of your nose. There are frogs in your cake. They have In some countries in Africa, there are poisonous toads that if they squirt you with even a milliounce of their venom, you're dead. So there are all kinds of these chevra running around Egypt. They have huge frogs. They had poisonous frogs. All kinds of amphibious creatures. Paro, you don't believe that I said Yishutzu Hamayim? Watch what happens. The Maral continues.
Why is the dam the last Amira?
Okay, we're going to explain that. Why is it going? It seems that it's going backward, where the first plague verifies the last statements with which Hashem created the world. The second plague corresponds to number 7. Number 3, Kinim. That, says the Maral, corresponds to on the second day, on the third day when God said, let all the water gather and the dry land appear. You don't believe that I have mastery over the dry land, that I created the earth and the dirt and the soil? Check this out, Paroi. I'm going to say Yehi Kinim, and every granule of soil will turn into a louse, and all the soil of Egypt will turn into lice. That's why Yaakov Avinu did not want to be buried in Mitzrayim. He didn't want his bones to turn into kinim. Number 4, Arav, wild animals. You don't believe I created the lion, the tiger, the bear? Watch this. Check this out. All of a sudden, you know, the Medrash says, you say, we'll just stay home. You know, Egypt became a big safari. So we'll stay home. No. The Medrash says like this. They have a chevra of animals staying at the front door. The lion's looking at the tiger. The tiger's looking at the rhinoceros. You know, tells the rhino, you bash through. The octopus says, step aside. He takes his suction cup. He puts it on the lock. He picks the lock. And the polar bear, that's what the Medrash says. That's what the polar bear says. The octopus sucked out the lock. Polar bear came right in. Mauled everyone in the house. Paroi, you don't believe I created the wild animals? Watch this. Dever, plague. Now, plague corresponds to God's creation of the luminaries. You don't believe that I created the luminaries? The Maral writes something that sounds more like an ancient belief, but I'll show you that Chazal definitely also agree with this, that the ancients believed that everything, all change in people's health were affected by stardust. Paroi, you don't believe that I created the luminaries? I'm going to bring plague. But I'll give you an example of this. On the fourth day of creation, it says, Yihim me'oirois. The word me'oirois is spelled without a vav. It's read me'era. That we say that askara, children's health, is affected by the eclipse of the sun and the moon. Okay. Now, paroi, shchin, the boils, corresponds to let's make man. Now listen to this. Did you know there's only one plague that the Khartoumim were so embarrassed of that they did not want to appear before Paroi? Shchin. No, Kinim they couldn't do. There was only one that they didn't even show up because they were so embarrassed. Shchin. Now, so let's think about this for a moment. Why was Shchin more embarrassing than any other plague? L'chayra, if you have half a frog coming out of your ear and another half a frog coming out of your nose, it's pretty embarrassing. Imagine, let's say you had an interview. You had an interview for a job. And there was like two legs of a frog coming out of each nose. One from one nose, one from the other. It's not like you're going to walk into the interview like that, you know? So why wasn't frogs embarrassing? The answer is, says the Maral, it's not embarrassing you have a frog come out of your nose. I'm a good looking guy. It happens to be there's a frog coming out of my nose. It's not my fault, you know. It's not me. It's just an external superimposed situation. But the first makkah that affected Tayar Ha'adam, the image of the person themselves, was the boil. So that's why Paroi, Hashem says, you don't believe I created man? Watch, I could distort the whole form and the whole figure of man. That's why Shchin confirms Nasa Adam. Furthermore, Paroi, you don't believe I created the heavens, the skies, Barad, right, the hail. Now this is the best one, we're going to come back to it in a moment. Paroi, you don't believe I created the vegetation, the herbs, the growth, the bushes, the trees, the grass. I'm going to show you my absolute control, that's Makas Arba. Because we know, even though Barad destroyed the produce, but Barad destroyed everything, it destroyed homes, it wasn't specific for the produce. Arbe is a targeted assault against the produce, like it says in the Toichacha, Zera Rav Toitzi Hasodeh, Uma'ad Te'esoif, Kiyachselenu Ho'arbe. Arbe is against the produce. Paroi! You don't believe Yehi'ar, that I turned on the lights? We're going to turn off the lights, Choshech. Paroi! You don't believe Bereishis, that I control the beginnings, that I control the origin of everything? Watch out with your beginnings. Makas b'chayrais. Now, even though it's not a perfectly backward system, it's only the first makadam corresponds to the last amira of food. The second to last makah choyshech corresponds to the second amira yihar. And the last makah, makas b'chayrais, corresponds to the first amira, bereishis. But Rav David Cohen explains that since this is sort of orally, that I spoke to some of his Talmidim, that since the first makah corresponds to the last statement with which Hashem created the world, and the last makah corresponds to the first, an order is determined and decided by its beginning and by its end. Now, why would it be backward? He explained as follows. When God created the world, He increasingly demonstrated more and more and more mastery and power. Not only did He create the being, He even did this, He even did that, He even did that. And finally, with the 10th statement of creation, He showed His incredible full mastery that He could even create the phenomenon of food. But as the generations progressed, they began to forget about God. First, they forgot about what the 10th statement of creation taught the world. Then they forgot what the 9th, until ultimately they forgot the most basic statement of creation. So when God wanted to remind them, He reminded them of what they forgot first, then for reminding them of what they forgot last. This is the approach of the Maral. Comes Rav David Cohen, and he says, maybe the most astounding remez I ever heard in the entire Chumash. Again, he says that the order of the makos, the 10 makos, are verifying and authenticating the 10 statements with which God created the world. Let's think for a moment. Arbe, grasshoppers, authenticate and verify what? Toitzi haaretz desha, let the world sprout with vegetation. Now let's think for a moment. Look at number 10. God is speaking to the grasshoppers. Marvra boisai. Did you ever notice in next week's parsha when God talks to the grasshoppers, they don't listen to Him? The grasshoppers did not listen to God. Could you imagine such a thing? What a chutzpahdika grasshopper. You say, what do you mean they didn't listen? Look, God says, you're going to cover the light of the land. You're not going to be able to see the land. You're going to eat the remnant, whatever's remaining from Barad. V'achal es kol ha'etz. You're going to consume all the trees. But what did they do? V'ayichas es ein kol ha'aretz. Look at number 11. They covered the light. V'atech shach ha'aretz. V'ayichas kol esev. They ate all the vegetation. V'es kol pri ha'etz. And all the fruit of the tree. But they didn't destroy the tree. Can you imagine? How could that be? God said, eat the tree. They didn't eat the tree. They eat the fruit. How's that possible? Says of David Cohen, right? God said, V'yachas kol ho'eitz. And they didn't. They ate pre-ho'eitz. Says of David Cohen, we know there's a tree and there's a fruit. You know why? Because all Arba is doing is verifying and authenticating the creation of the world. Which statement? The statement of Tadshe Ha'aretz Desha. Let's look how God created the world. The trees didn't listen to God the first time either. God said, let the earth sprout with vegetation. Esev mazria zera, herbs yielding seeds. Eitz pri oisa pri, trees that taste like fruit that produce fruit. God said the trees should taste like fruit. So what did the earth do? Vatoitze aretz desha. The earth produced vegetation. Esev mazria zera. Ve'etz Oisepri, a tree that produces fruit, but not a tree that tastes like fruit. The first time when God created the trees didn't listen. God wanted the trees to taste like fruit, but the tree didn't listen. And therefore, if the makas are just a repeat and a verification, authentication of the first round of creation, it's not going to be better than the first round. It's just an exact replica of round one. And in round one, also the trees were not true to God's command. Who says that? Rashi. By the way, Rashi was an Orthodox rabbi. Rashi brings from Chazal on the Psukim in Bereishis. The trees didn't listen. So the trees didn't listen the first time. What do you expect from the poor grasshoppers? They're just authenticating the first act of creation. Furthermore, that's what Rashi says. Now it comes out incredible. You ready for this? Watch this. This is so amazing. I called up the author of Rav David Cohen's Sefer. He's a friend of mine. He lives in Lakewood. Moshe Gruen. I said, Moshe, I have an amazing chiddush on this. Is this what Rav David Cohen is saying? He's saying, I'm not sure. He wasn't sure if this is what the Rashi was saying. So I said like this. If he's not saying it, I'm very happy to take credit for it. If he did say it, it's still amazing. The first Rashi in Chumash. What's the first Rashi in Chumash? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. The Torah should begin with what? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Shehayah Mitzvah Rishayna. The Torah is not a history book. It should begin with the first mitzvah. Fasten your seatbelt so your head doesn't hit the ceiling. Rashi wants the Torah to begin HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. That means Rashi wants, before the first statement of creation, it should say the first mitzvah. Rashi, Hashem looked down from Shemayim. And he said, Rashi, you're taka right. If I ever do it again, I'll do it your way. Sure enough, when God recreated the world, which is the first statement with which God recreated the world? Makas b'chayrois. Before Makas b'chayrois, the Torah HaKadosha writes what Rashi says it should have wrote the first time. So you say it's a funny way to say it. I could say it the other way as well. Maybe you like it better. How does Rashi know that the Torah should begin HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Rashi woke up one day in the morning and said, you know, I think that the Torah should begin HaChodesh Hazeh. Rashi's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know how you think the Torah should begin because that's how you did it the second time, which is the creation of the world that we have today. So if it was good enough in the creation that we have for the last 5,000 years, asked Rashi, then you taka should have done it the first time. But look at we see the first Rashi in Chumash in an amazing light. Rashi saying, the Torah should have began with the first mitzvah. So taka, when the Ribbono Shel Olam recreated the world, he did begin the world with the first mitzvah. It's mamish, hafla v'fela. Now,
how can you be Mekadosh HaChodesh if the month was not created, the moon was not created?
It's Al Shema Asir. In other words, what should be mentioned first? What should be mentioned first? The first mitzvah. But, obviously we're going to have to get the raw materials with which to do the mitzvah. Now, look what he says. This is also incredible. This is from Rav David Cohen. Now, sometimes I'll ask a question and people will say, I didn't get up to there yet, so I don't know what it means. But this question, I'm pretty sure you got up to this word, but most people don't know what the word means. Let's try this word. You ready? Bereishis. Yeah, you get up to that? Bereishis. What does the word Bereishis mean? That's Rashi says, in a mikra zayomer elo darsheni. You know? In the beginning. But Rashi says it can't mean that, because then it would say Bereishina. Bereishis is davak. Bereishis what? Bereishis what? But I'll show you how it's even more difficult. The word Bereishis means in the beginning. So what does it mean? Baruch Oiseh Bereishis. Blessed is the one who created in the beginning. It should say Baruch Oiseh Reishis. The Beis is a Beis Hashimosh. Baruch Oiseh Bereishis makes no sense. Laseis Gedula Liyotzer Bereishis. Laseis Gedula Liyotzer Reishis. What does it mean, Bereishis? with the Rashis. Now, so comes the Gra, and comes the Malbim, and comes the Dibna Magid, and the Gra brings us to many places, and Rav Huttner says this as well, that what is the simple pshat in Bereshis? If you came to only one shir of mine your entire life, and you only heard 30 seconds, this is it. What does it mean, Bereshis bara Elokim? Says the Dibna Magid. Dibna Magid says, we know in Koheles, in Perek Beis, it says, Lakoil Zeman V'yeslechol Chefetz Tachas HaShamayim Lakoil Zeman. For everything there's time. What does that mean, for everything there's time? That means for God to create a world with a sun and a moon and a heaven and an earth and stars and people and plants and animals, He needs a context to put everything in it. In other words, He needs a container to put the creation in. What is the context? What is the context in which God puts all of creation? And the answer is Lakoil Zman. All of creation is placed in the context of time. Time is the framework of creation. But time is also a creation. In fact, the very first creation was a creation of time. Before God created the light and the darkness and the heaven and the earth, the first thing He created was time. So where in the Chumash does it say that God created time? Says the Gra, says the Malbim, that Bereshis, time, bara Elokim, God created. That is Pshat in the first Pasuk in Chumash. Who says that? All the Balei HaPshat. Bereshis, Zman, bara Elokim. Meaning, Bereshis, together with time, God created everything else. Because without time, you can't have anything. Because where do you put it? So think about it. The first act of creation was a creation of time. Before God created anything, He created time. Says Rav David Kohen, now in Egypt, when God is recreating the world, and He's recreating the world, how? With Makas Dam is verifying the creation of food. And then finally, Makas Bechoyrois is going back to Bereshis, is creation of Bereshis. So Makas Bechoyrois is verifying the first Amira, Bereshis. God needs to recreate time, which He does. How does He recreate time? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Roish Chadoshim. Until now, time moved Bereshis. The Baal Turim says, Be'echad b'tishrei. No. We're recreating. From now on, time doesn't move that way anymore. From now on, time begins in Chodesh Nisan. The same way, the first act of creation was the creation of time. Bereshis, starting with Tishrei, so too when God authenticated, verified, and recreated the world, His first act of creation is the re-movement of time. He altered the movement of time. Time does not begin in Tishrei anymore. The year does not begin in Tishrei anymore. The year now begins HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana. It's Mavil Al Arayan, the exact parallels between the Makos and the Mamore Bereshis. Again, the same way when Hashem created the herbage, Hashem said, Eitz Peri, I want the wood to taste like fruit, and they did not listen. So to the grasshoppers, God said, eat the tree. They didn't eat the tree, they ate the fruit. Just like when God created the world, Rashi says it should have began, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So when God recreates the world, it does begin, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The same way when God created the world, the first act of creation was the creation of Zman. When God recreated the world, the first act of recreation was the creation of Zman. Now I want to throw in one twist. What? I want to throw in one amazing twist. This whole Mahalach is going in the world of the Gra and the Maral, that the way the Makos correspond to the words of creation is backward. That Dam corresponds to food. Choshech corresponds to Yehi Ar. Makas Bechoyrois corresponds to Bereshis. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who's a student of a student of the Gra, he's called the Peshlishi, the third mouth from the Gra, he learns just the opposite of the Maral, that the Makos substantiate the acts of creation in sequence. So Bereshis was authenticated by Dam, And Naseh Adam, let us make man, was authenticated by Makas Bechairos. You don't believe I created man? I'm going to knock him off and you'll see I created man. So I want to point out another incredible chiddush in this new system that Makas Bechairos authenticates Naseh Adam. And it goes like this. We know there's a big kasha by Makas Bechairos. Who did Makas Bechairos? Hashem. Vashem hiko ko bechor. Right? And we say in Agoda, ani v'loi malach, ani v'loi sorof, ani v'loi shliach, ani, me, no one else. V'avarti, v'hikesi, ese shvatim, ani Hashem. Right? We got it. Only Hashem, nobody else. And yet the big kasha is, it says, v'litein hamashchis. There's another guy over here. That's the big kasha, all the Rishonim ask. The Rishonim also ask, it says, Vashem. And whenever it says Vashem, it's who ubezdinoi. We mean who ubezdinoi. We just said, ani. It's the only makkah that it's the kesi, the eseh, the avarti, and here we bring in the bezdin. It doesn't bring in a bezdin by dam tzfardeya. Why do we only bring in the bezdin by the one makkah that it says only God did it? Famous kasha. All the achronim ask this kasha. I'm going to tell you a new answer. I never saw this anywhere, and I think it's mamish beautiful according to this approach. Let's talk about when God created man. Who created man? Hashem. Vayivra Elohim es ha'adam. But wait a second. But we have this whole confusion and the whole bilbul. Vayivra Elohim nasa adam. So what does Rashi say? Pasha Rashi. Rashi says, Avada and Avada, only Hashem created man. But Hashem showed Anivus and Derech Eretz that the superior should ask the advice of the inferiors. Not that Chas v'Shalom Hashem needed help, or that Hashem got help, or that anybody else had a yad in the creation of man, but it was just a cordial act of cordiality and Derech Eretz to show that if you're in a position of control, you should ask the opinion of your inferiors. So I want to say like this. The same way when God created man, only God created man. So, but it does say Nasa Adam because Ribbono Shel Olam was showing Derech Eretz. So too when God authenticated and verified the creation of man, Avada! V'avarti v'hikesi e'eseh ani Hashem. Only God did it. So what are we bringing in the Bezdin? Not because they did anything, because Ribbono Shel Olam is repeating again the Anivus and the Derech Eretz, and he's showing that the superior should always seek the counsel of the inferior. It's not a kasha, it's not a stira. You just have to know where the point of origin. The point of origin is this is an exact parallel of Nasa Adam. Mamish Masuk Midrash. So it comes out, Marvra Boisai, that the Makos were not a circus. And it was not a carnival, and it was not a zoo that Hashem, even though we do say matzah zoo, but it was not a zoo being unloaded into Mitzrayim. What the Ribbono Shel Olam was doing was he's saying, you don't believe in Zeichel L'Maaseh Bereishis, we're going to repeat it, authenticate it, verify it, demonstrate it with Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. The 10 makos verify the Asara Ma'amorais. Rashi wants the Torah to begin at Chodesh Hazeh Lachem the first time. Don't worry, it did the second time. The first time God started with creation of time. The second time God starts with creation of time. We could say that the same way Bereishis, we could say a nice Chiddush. We know the Medrash says, Bishvil Bikurim Shenikra Reishis Nivra Olam. You ever hear that statement of Chazal? In the merit of Bikurim, God created the world. So too, but Makas Bechoyrois, which is in lieu of the first statement with which God created the world, was introduced with the Karban Pesach, which we know is a Karban Toida, which just like in the merit of Bikurim, Bereishis, the world was created, in the merit of the gratitude of the Karban Toida, of the Karban Pesach, God also created the world. Marv Rabbi says, we would like to suggest that perhaps this is the reason why the Bahag gave a very specific and thoughtful and accurate name for Shemais. You know what he called it? Book 2. Book 2. Oh, what kind of name is that? He ran out of names? It's a perfect name. What the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying is, Berei, we're repeating over the first book. The first book created the world, Sefer Shemais, is T. Take two. We're trying this again. The Rebbe Hashem is authenticating, verifying what was achieved in book one. It's not a lack of a better name. It's the most accurate, apt name to give Sefer Shemais. It's a repetition of Briyas HaOlam, the Asara Makos, confirmed the Yesar Ma'amorois, Shenivra HaOlam. So these are, you know, uncovering. Imagine if we really knew the real depth that the Torah had. We would probably go out of it. We couldn't be even soivel such beauty. But a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a flavor. Rebbe Hashem shall always give us the chus. Gal einai v'abita nefloyis mitar secha. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.